Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of these assembled hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is surely a strange day in the church year for many people. Most of us spent the last few decades missing out on the strange tension that exists on Palm Sunday. For many decades, most churches followed the Church of Rome into thinking that 40 days of fasting and somberness is just way too many stinking days. And so, like turning Advent, originally called the Little Lent, into an extended celebration of Christmas, they tend to try to end Lent yesterday, making this week an extended celebration of Easter. With the exception of perhaps Good Friday, they have removed all of the things that take a serious look at the last week of Jesus' life. I actually had this morning over at Redeemer, someone asked me why we didn't light the Easter candle. That was the words that were said. This is the mindset that we have fallen into. Today is an example of this. Many churches, most of them I would say, and many people question why our fathers handed down to us the tradition of reading the Passion narrative on a day that we're supposed to be jumping up and down with palm branches in our hand, celebrating that Christ has gone to the cross and risen from the dead. Don't you know it's a celebration day? Look at everyone surrounding Jesus. Look at everyone crying out to him. Look at the children dancing in the streets, singing their praises, singing their hosannas. I respond with this: do you not know that by the end of that very same week, less than 5 days later, that very same crowd will be surrounding that very same Jesus with a different cry upon their lips? Instead of crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," they cry, "Let him be crucified, let him be crucified." That very same people say, these children that are running and jumping in the streets, let his blood be upon their souls, let them be upon ours. Let him be crucified, let him be crucified. Today is the beginning of Holy Week, dear Christians. Jesus rode into Jerusalem just as the prophets foretold it. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is a great and wonderful thing, and we certainly do rejoice, just like we did at the beginning of the service. These people see him, and they see and they know all the miracles that he has done. They know that it was not that long ago that this man even raised Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead for 4 days and stank. And they cry out to this king, who they know to be the Messiah, "Save us now," which is what Hosanna means, by the way. I do often wonder what it is that they want to be saved from. Every commentator seems to speculate something different. The most common answer seems to be that they wanted to be free of Roman occupation. And perhaps that's true. It makes sense, I guess, since they're recognizing Jesus as a king. However, I think there's much more to it than that if you actually pay attention to the text. I think these people know that this is the long-promised Messiah. They are crying out not only for salvation from Roman occupation, but salvation also from all the trials and hardships of this life. They have not witnessed this man leading great armies into battle and conquering foreign nations that have been troubling the Jews. They have instead witnessed him removing various illnesses, removing diseases from people's bodies, casting out demons with a word, and even raising four days dead stinky people from their graves. I do not think that this foreign nation coming out from under is the only thing driving them to cry out, "Hosanna, save us now." Being on this side of history, we know where this leads. We know the shortcomings of these who are calling out to the Lord. And we can't simply ignore it because we like celebrating. We can't simply ignore it because we would prefer to see the kids sing 2 songs, 3 songs, 4 songs, 5 songs even, instead of hearing that boring, old, sad, it makes me cry story of Jesus' death. It's not going to work, folks. This man, who is exactly who these people are saying that he is, knew what would happen with these very same people. He knew what they would be crying out with those very same lips less than 5 days later. He knew their cries would turn against them. The problem is that Jesus did not come to rescue these people from everything they are crying out to him about. He actually did come to rescue him from everything, from the very sins that plague them. He did come, actually, to heal their diseases. He did come to drive out the demons. He did even come to raise the dead. However, he did all of this in a way that was not pleasing to them. He had a different way. They wanted him to do it their way, and they wanted him to do it their way now. They wanted the Burger King Jesus. But Christ knew the one and only way. The way that had been set into motion since the creation of the world. That is the way of humility, the way of the cross. "The Son of Man must suffer many things," Jesus said, "be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and then raised on the third day. This is the way and the only way." Jesus rode in to save these people who are begging to be saved, but when it came time to save them, they all turned their backs on him. "The time is coming when the shepherd shall be struck and all of the sheep will scatter." Not much has changed in 2,000 years, my dear friends. We come here week after week, and whether we have palm branches in our hand on just one of those Sundays or all of them, we certainly do sing the same exact song that they sing. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And yet, how often is it that by Friday of that same week, we cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." You may wonder what I mean by this. "Pastor, I've never said those words. Knock it off." Well, probably not. And I certainly hope that you've never actually said those words straight from your mouth. But certainly our thoughts and our actions have been such a cry. There's many examples of this. Probably the most obvious one is the one we just walked through in our midweek series concerning the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And yet most people who call themselves Christians say, "This is not my body. This is not my blood." Crucify him, crucify him. We want a different Jesus that comes a different way. This happens in so many different examples. The ones who say, "God is love, so why can't I just move in with my boyfriend and girlfriend, test the waters out a little bit? I know that Jesus said that marriage is the only way to do this, but I don't really like that. I want Jesus this way, my way, and I want him my way now. Crucify this other Jesus." I could go on and on and on with such examples. We sin much and often every single day of our lives. The Palm Sunday sermons are supposed to be short, so I'll give it a shot. I'll finish by pointing out what Jesus does even though he knows this group of people, even though he knows what they will do, even though he knows what words will be on their lips, even though he knows what is going to happen to him on Friday, he gets on the donkey anyway and goes forward to the cross, not for his own sake, but for each and every one of theirs, for each and every one of yours. He knows everyone around him celebrating and calling out to him will reject him in the end, but he doesn't get on a stallion and ride away and establish some earthly kingdom somewhere. Despite every shortcoming, every malicious thing that they will do to him, despite the fact that they will literally spit in his face and beat him with a reed and scourge him and kill him, he still answers their prayer to save them now. He goes into this holy city, and he goes to the cross. He goes then to the empty grave and saves them all. Saves us all. Dear Christian friends, this is what your Lord has done for you. Though you sin daily, though you sin often, though you speak the right words on Sunday and the wrong ones on Monday and Tuesday, Jesus still paid the price for your sins. Yes, we are on the other side of all of these things, and so we struggle against these sins because we know them. That's for sure. But I also guarantee you that you will stumble. You will sin. And that's when you remember that the Lord didn't turn around and ride the other way. He came, he kept going all the way to the cross. He paid the full price for the remission of all your sins. The gift of salvation, purchased and won by the Lord, is not dependent on whether or not you finally said the right words all the way until Friday. Despite those things, those shortcomings that in the end are you crying out, "Let him be crucified," he answered your first cry anyway, and he has saved you. And he continues to come in his time and in his way, right here in the divine service, just as we cry out to him, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," week after week after week. But he comes the way that he has appointed. He does not sneak into your bedroom and grant you whatever thing you were asking. He comes in words. He comes in a chalice. He comes on a paten. He comes with his very body and blood to deliver to you the forgiveness of sins purchased and won upon the cross. So like these Jews who began on this Sunday crying out, "Save us now," but then on Friday started crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him," but ultimately were the same group of Jews in Acts chapter 2 who heard Peter condemn them, say, "What shall we do?" We will move forward listening to those words of Peter, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you. For you said, 'Let the blood of Jesus be upon us and be upon our children.' And it is. It covers you and makes you clean. It makes you white as snow. You have been robed in the blood of Christ. When we cry out now, 'Let his blood be upon us and upon our children,' it is for our salvation, and we thank God every day that he has poured it out upon us. This promise, dear Christians, is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Let his blood be upon us. Let his blood be upon our children. Hosanna to the Son of David, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.